How's everybody today? All sugared out? Oh, I ate too much sugar on Christmas. We had a great Christmas. I trust you did too as well. And I know that people are still celebrating Christmas, and that's why the few pews are empty. Some families are gone today because of that. And then we have a few people that are heading south, the Rays and Lita. You guys are going down to where the weather is not much warmer than here. And it's been great. Christmas Day in Omaha was 63 degrees. Me and the dog went for a walk. My wife is not here. We're dog sitting and house sitting in Omaha, our daughter's house. And they have a dog about that big, a yellow lab, I think, who's spoiled. So my wife is watching the dog in the house, and I'll go back to Omaha later on and come back tomorrow. And then Tuesday I'm going to join a crew. We're going to go get something down in Osceola. Take a look at the platform. Anything missing? Yes, the organ is gone. Thanks to Glenn for putting it on Craigslist. The deacons decided to let the organ go, and it went to a church in Omaha, Mount View Presbyterian Church. And they came and they picked it up on Thursday. And so on Tuesday, a few of us are going down to Osceola to a church that is closed, and we're going to pick up their piano. It's a baby grand piano, and we're getting it free. We gave the organ away free. What a deal, right? And we blessed the church with the organ, and a church in Osceola is going to bless us with their piano. And so that's one of the things that's taking place this week. So I look forward to having a new instrument up here next week. Welcome our visitors that are here. Thanks, Brian and Carolyn, for being here. And we're glad to see you all here. We also got some other visitors that wanted to hear the singers. So thank you very much for being here today. And Pastor Brian is on vacation, and appreciate Corey and the gals stepping in doing praise and worship this morning. Again, let me just reaffirm what Travis talked about. Come back next Sunday. We have a full Sunday. Communion, Head and Home Quartet, food. Pray for good weather. You never know what the first Sunday of the new year may be. We trust for a good day next week. And special guests, the Farvers. And so come back and invite others as well to be a part of that. And then Wednesday night, the 8th, as Travis also said, I'm going to be talking kind of a little bit about my ministry, and I don't know, just I've enjoyed the last 2 years. We've been running around visiting different churches and just kind of share a little bit of some of the observations and things I've learned, and it's been a great experience, and we're glad to be with you folks for a few months ministering to you. One of the things that I want to talk about today is I want to talk about the hymn we just sung, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. To begin this message, I invite you to take your Bibles and open to John chapter 14. And I want to read two verses of Scripture to set the stage for my message today. John chapter 14, just two verses. And I invite you to stand. And I'm going to read verse 1 of John chapter 14 and then verse 27. And then I'll pray. John chapter 14, these are Jesus' words. They're familiar. Verse 1 says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Let us pray. Father, thank you that we have gathered together on this last Sunday of the year. A beautiful day. We're grateful for each person that is here. Be with those who can't be here because of traveling and activities going on. Lord, I pray that you will speak to us from your word today. May we hear loud and clear how we can have peace on earth with you. Thank you for your love for us this great Christmas season as we enter a new year. May the joy of this season continue in our midst today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In visiting churches, while back, I was visiting a church. Jeanette and I were visiting, and in the order of service, there was this point where the priest, the pastor, I'm not sure which church it was at, had in the bulletin it said, "Pass the peace." Well, I sort of knew what that was. And I think it's kind of funny for two reasons. Number one, all it is the howdy time. It's just the greeting. They call it pass the peace. The other thing that makes it kind of funny for me is I'm a product of the 60s. Passing the peace was, peace, man. Instead of shaking hands, man, we should be going like that. Peace, man. You know, long hair, flowering hair, you know, driving a VW van, you know. Passing the peace, that's what I picture when you pass the peace, but we just call it the howdy time. In this post-Christmas Sunday, let's look at our post-Christmas life. After the weeks of Christmas music, it's back to the regular music on our iPods and radios. After all the anticipation of what's in our presence, it's back to, now what do we do with all this new stuff we just got? After weeks of eating candy and cookies, it's back to eating what we should be eating and deciding whether or not we should go on a diet the first of the year. And after weeks of singing peace on earth, goodwill to men, we wonder, where is it? I haven't listened to the news the last couple of days, but I got a funny feeling what the news is about. Where is the peace on earth, goodwill to men? The news doesn't get any better after the day after Christmas. The new year comes and the news continues on. Let's see. The impeachment won't go away. The top news stories will be about if it bleeds, it leads, of course. Some tragedies that took place. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Where is it? That's not a new question. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow asked that question in 1864 and wrote a song about it. In fact, take your hymnals, and I want you to look at that song again that the ladies led us in singing. It's hymn number 195. Hymn number 195 is I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. There's five verses, and it is a fascinating hymn. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, of course, is America's poet. And as Corey said, he had lost his wife a few years before. His son was injured in the Civil War. In his journal, the first Christmas after his wife passed away, he wrote, "How inexplicably sad are the holidays. I can make no record of these days. Better leave them unwrapped in silence. Perhaps someday God will give me peace." And then in 1863, his son was injured in the Civil War. He didn't write anything in his journal that day, but in 1864, that Christmas, he wrote this poem. And through his personal loss and his suffering and the suffering of the nation through the Civil War, he asked the question in poetry, "Where is peace on earth?" There are actually seven verses to this hymn. There's five in our hymnal. Two of them are not there because they make reference specifically to the Civil War. But the verses that are here are interesting. The first two verses basically set the Christmas scene. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Verse 2, I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. So he sets the stage. Christmas is a time you hear about peace on earth. Then verse 3, and in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. We happen to think that the time of our existence right now in America, that's a turbulent time in America, and it is, but can you imagine what life was like in the Civil War when America was utterly divided and every state lives were being lost? It was a massive, horrible war. And he sees that, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks a song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But then, verses 4 and 5, he does seek for peace. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. He sees hope. Till ringing and singing on its way, the world revolve from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant of sublime, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Though he doesn't mention the Prince of Peace, Jesus, he alludes to it. If we're going to have peace, it's only going to be found in Christ. We ask ourselves often, where is the peace on earth? You look at the news in the last year, just to give you a summary. The news headlines included, but were not limited to, mass shootings, wildfires in California, Hurricane Dorian, which devastated the East Coast part of it, the Mueller report and the Russian collusion, the impeachment and Ukraine, same-sex marriage issues, abortion, climate change, the war in Afghanistan, the opioid epidemic. There's at least 20 presidential candidates running around. There's Christian persecution in China by the government. There are Christians being persecuted in Africa by Islamic terrorists. And there's evangelicals are split. Christians like us are split over politics and social issues and religion in America. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, where is it? We can add our own bad news. Many of you have been through some loss of loved ones, spouses, other family members, your own personal tragedies. Some of you have had health crises. Some of you are struggling with your finances or your job or school. You got heartaches and headaches, and there's some emptiness and sadness, and maybe you, like me at times, have bowed my head in despair and asked, you know, where's the peace on earth, goodwill to men? Well, let me tell you about, there is peace on earth, goodwill to men, and I'm going to tell you about where you can find that. Take your Bibles and turn to Micah chapter 5. We cannot forget the good news. What the gospel is all about, what the Bible is all about, what hope is all about. There is good news. In Micah chapter 5, we looked at this passage last week. It gives us the prophecy 700 years before Jesus came of where Jesus was going to be born. Verse 2, chapter 5, in Bethlehem Ephrata. And then it describes this person that's going to be born. And the first phrase in verse 5 is this. This one will be our peace. Israel needed peace. Their nation and their history was full of conflict and turmoil. It still is today. You study the history of the nation of Israel and it's constant turmoil. The northern tribes at this point have already been carried away into captivity. The northern tribes were destroyed by Assyria. Micah is writing this in Judah's last days. They're declining. The nation of Babylon is growing in influence. And there's a prophecy about one who will be our peace. Their only hope was yet still 700 years away, with the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. But it was a promise that was made, a promise that was going to be kept. And 700 years after a long, hard wait, Jesus the Messiah came. And in Jesus the Messiah, peace is personified. He carries within himself peace, because he is peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, another prophecy. Already we heard this morning, one of the names of Jesus, one of the names of Messiah, is the Prince of Peace. In the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, which is an answer to Micah chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace." That answers who the one will be our peace is. It is Jesus. So Micah is one of many, many prophecies. I've said a number of different times. There are at least 333 prophecies predicting the first coming of Jesus. And Jesus fulfilled every one of them in detail. And one of the prophecies about Jesus is he's going to be the Prince of Peace. He's going to bring us peace. He's going to bring our world what we so long for, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And we see that in the New Testament. So take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. How many times have we read this account at Christmas time? The account of the birth of Jesus. The shepherds are out in the field watching their flocks by night. An angel announced, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Wow. Jesus is our peace. Finally, the Prince of Peace has come. Finally, there is peace. Finally, there is the hope of peace for us. That verse 14, two phrases. Glory to God in the highest. God deserves all the praise for the birth of Jesus. God deserves all the praise and the glory for sending us a Savior. God, in love for us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Glory to God for what He has done for us. He did it 2,000 years ago for us. The plan of redemption, the perfect plan of redemption, brings glory to God. Jesus is coming to earth, glorified God. God gets the glory in the highest for what He's doing through Jesus to save us from our sins. It also, God in sending Jesus Christ was to show to us His glory, His divine nature. The angels saw His glory, and now we get to see God's glory in Jesus, and we get to experience it. You know, the children of Israel, they saw God's glory in the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. They saw God's glory there. The glory we see in Jesus in saving us is even greater than the cloud and the fire. Think about that. God's glory is greatest in us because of Jesus has come to save us from our sins. His name, Emmanuel, God with us. He will be named Jesus, for He will save His people, you and me, from our sins. That displays the glory of God. And then the second phrase, peace on earth, goodwill to men. There's the promise of peace. I think the best translation or a better translation of that is, and on earth peace to men of goodwill. Because really, the peace that Jesus offers is only experienced by the people who accept Jesus. Our world will not experience peace without Christ. I think we all agree to that. We all understand that. Without Christ seated at the conference table, there can be no peace. Without Christ in the lives of people, there can be no peace. Nations cannot have peace without Christ. Families can't have peace without Christ. We cannot have peace without Christ. Christ is the Prince of Peace. Peace can only reside in those who have the Prince of Peace in their life. It's not for the world without Christ, so it's peace on earth to men of goodwill. We find our peace in Him who is peace. With Christ in our life, we have peace in our life. We humans are born in sin. We live in sin. We are in a state of hostility against heaven and with each other. We are at war with our Maker and even His creation. But Christ came to win that war, and He did so on the cross by dying for our sin. And He did so out of an empty tomb by rising from the dead and giving us His new life. And with Christ in us, we have His righteousness, we have His peace. When you and I become reconciled to God through the death of Jesus, we have peace with God. We have peace with ourselves. We have peace with each other because goodwill dwells in us. It speaks through us and it works through us. The gospel brings us peace. It starts in the hearts of individuals and it spreads to families and it spreads beyond nations. The good news is not that God sent a soldier to fight for us, or a judge to indict us, or a reformer to teach us how to live the best life, or a political leader to tax us. Instead, he sent us what we needed the most, a Savior, to meet our greatest need, to deal with our sin, and to restore us with God and with each other. At this point in history, in Luke chapter 2, Rome ruled. In fact, for a number of years, they experienced the Pax Romana, which is the peace of Rome. Rome and their political rule brought a measure of peace to the world at that time. But they still could not bring peace within man's heart. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, writes this, quoting a Stoic philosopher, he said, "While the emperor may give peace from war on land and at sea, the emperor is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearns more than an outward peace." The Roman government couldn't bring peace. The Greek culture that the Jews were experiencing could not bring peace. Even the Jewish religion of Old Testament laws could not bring peace. They needed a peacemaker, the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus, to bring peace on earth to men of goodwill. And the angels praised God and gave hope to mankind. And God's glory was returning to earth in the form of a baby who grew up to be a man and showed us how to live and taught us how to live. We have the gospel records of the truth that he lived and taught. And then he died for us. You've heard the old illustration. He stretched out his arm to show us how much he loved for us on a cross. And he paid for our sins. And then he rose again the third day from the dead to bring us peace. Peace is found in the person of Christ. Peace is not found in government. You know that. It's not found in a political system. Socialism will not bring peace. Capitalism hasn't brought it either. It doesn't matter if we live in a democracy or republic. There is no peace there because man rules. Peace will come when Christ rules. Jesus spoke of peace. Again, John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus also said, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." The apostles preached peace. Peter in Acts chapter 10, verse 36, said, "The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." And the Apostle Paul opened each one of his epistles with such phrases, 1 Corinthians 1:3, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Every one of his epistles begins with a measure of peace. The fruit of the Spirit includes peace, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. Paul wrote in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." When we accept Jesus Christ, at the moment of our salvation, the war between us and God is over with. A peace treaty has been signed by the blood of Jesus. We have peace with God, the moment of our salvation. And then in Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We can have that peace of God in our daily life. It's a personal peace that we can have in the circumstances of our life, regardless of our circumstances. We can experience Christ's peace. Peace of God. Because of peace with God. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. "Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all." Wait, can we claim that promise? Peace in every circumstance? don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder about that. Not every circumstance is peaceful. Not every circumstance is good. And there are trials and tribulations we face. You face them. I face them. But in the midst of it, we can have a peace. The peace of Christ. Knowing that God's in control. Knowing that our salvation is secure. Knowing that the Holy Spirit lives in us. Knowing that we have a book to guide and direct us. Knowing that we have a future home in heaven waiting for us. We can have peace in our circumstances. Sometimes it's fleeting. Sometimes that peace is rather fragile because we are frail human beings. Sometimes that peace comes and we let go of it because of the ups and downs of our life that we face. But nevertheless, of our circumstances, Jesus is still the Prince of Peace. He still embodies peace. He still gives peace. We just need to reach out and hold on to it. That peace is real. It's always within our reach by faith. And you know, you've seen some great saints over the years that they went through a lot of things in life, and yet they had a calmness in their life because they trusted God. They were secure in their salvation. We can be as well. A number of years ago, I read a story in our Daily Bread devotional, written by David McCausland. He wrote an article entitled Weighed Down at Christmas. And he tells a story of visiting the New York City Metropolitan Museum of Art one December day. And he paused to admire a magnificent Christmas tree that had been all decorated up. It was covered with angels and ribbons and bows and rather neat tree itself. But underneath it was this elaborate 18th century nativity scene. He writes that there's about 200 figures underneath there. They included shepherds and the magi and crowds of town people. And they're all looking up at this manger, gazing in awe at the angels. But amongst all the figures, there was one lone figure that was different from all the rest. It was a barefoot man who carried a very heavy load on his back, and he was looking to the ground. I just picture all that. In the midst of this beautiful scene, all these characters looking up to the manger, there's one man looking down. A man who bowed his head in despair. There was no peace on earth for him. He had trouble seeing Christ. He had trouble seeing peace. He was carrying heavy burden upon his back. And then the author writes this. Christmas can be a difficult time for those who carry the burdens of hard work, stressful family situations, and personal loss. But we should remember that Christ came into our world to lift up those who are bowed down and to give us his peace on earth because we know him as the Prince of Peace. Let me ask you today, what heavy loads are you carrying in your post-Christmas life? What heavy loads do you need to give to God today to lift the burden that weighs you down? What has caused you to bow your head in despair? Every one of us is going to have a different story, different times. As we face 2020 in our post-Christmas life, who knows what the future is going to bring? But we have a never-changing God and Savior. The Prince of Peace who came to this earth 2,000 years ago is still the Prince of Peace today. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you is a great verse, a great promise. That's a direct quote from Psalm chapter 55, verse 22, which says, in full, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Let me read you that verse again. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. I can tell by personal experience in our life, we've had some ups and some downs. I've told people many, many times, we have more family members in cemeteries than we have on earth. More in heaven than we have on earth. We're a small family. We're getting smaller. I've done a lot of funerals. I've done a number this past year. We've had ups and downs with our finances. We've had ups and downs with relationships. We've had ups and downs with jobs. Had ups and downs living in our communities. We carry burdens. But burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow knew, through his own personal experience, God is not dead, nor doth He sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill to men. And how is that accomplished? Another Christmas hymn. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. What great news that is. We can face a new year with the Prince of Peace in our life. We can face the uncertainties that are ahead of us. With the baby that was born in Bethlehem has cast out our sin and He's entered in. We've been born again. And if you can think back to the time when you made that decision for Christ, praise the Lord. If you've never made that decision, please make that decision. Don't leave here without Jesus. Don't leave this Christmas season without Jesus. Simply repent of your sin. Acknowledge, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've failed You. I've messed up my life. Please forgive me and come into my life. And be in charge of my life. And I want to honor You and glorify You in everything I do. Very simple. When we're born again, we get to experience the Prince of Peace. And I trust that as you enter a new year in 2 days, that you enter the new year with Jesus as your Savior, Lord of your life. You can trust Him for whatever circumstances is ahead of you. You can thank Him for the blessings you've experienced this past year. You can be grateful for all the gifts He's given to you, and He's given you many, many gifts. You can be pleased. You can be a part of a church that supports you and encourages you and preaches the gospel. You can be pleased that someday you're going to be with the saints in all the ages and a great place called heaven forever and ever and ever in a perfect world. That's a promise. That's a guarantee. But in the meantime, the Prince of Peace can rule in your life and guide and direct you each and every day. Amen? Amen. And we can face a new year, 2020, with the promise of the Prince of Peace lives and rules in us. Let's stand. Corey, do you have a closing song? Joy to the world. Let me